being smokescreen of the ongoing ICE raids and the anti-ICE protests.
This is not just about resistance here in Minneapolis. It's about love. So you've got people uniting and coming together in this beautiful way.
After the shooting of Renee Good, the coverage of ICE on CBS, NBC, and ABC was 93% negative. 93% negative is not journalism. It's tribalism.
Let's keep our eye on the ball.
How high up do you think the message went that there was fraud? Do you think it made its way to the governor's office?
I struggle to believe it didn't. I have to believe that the governor's office and Keith Ellison's office were aware of this. They've said they were involved in helping the FBI. They've said they were made aware.
Mr. Dexter, could have something been done about this earlier?
Yes. As I stated in my opening testimony, in the years that I worked there, we identified how fraud was occurring, the loopholes that existed, and we...
What were some of the warning signs, Mr. Dexter?
Well, the fact that part of our job was to go and collect attendance records. We would find attendance records that were either incomplete, non-existent.
But I can't understate it. How frustrated Minnesotans are right now with the level of fraud and the lack of accountability. Assistant Commissioner Moore said that through the SWIFT system, through your accounting system, you know who you're paying. You know the people who you are sending money to. You know their name, you know their business. Frankly, you probably know who they're connected to. And through the tools across state agencies and across all of the executive branch, from business registrations to what they have to file with the Attorney General's office, all of those tools exist. So why are payments continuing to people who have been convicted of fraud?
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's inner circle has been riddled with explosive ties to one of the biggest fraud heists in American history, the $250 million Feeding Our Future scam.
The brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color.
Three of Frey's own appointees got nailed. Former senior policy aide Abdi Nur Salah pleaded guilty to wire fraud. Shamarke Issa, twice handpicked to chair the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, copped to wire fraud and restitution in the millions. Abdik Kadir Inanche Muhammad, tapped for Frey's community safety work group, faced indictments in the same rotten scheme. Add in campaign max donations from at least eight indicted players, plus Frey's own wife, Sarah Clark, lobbying at the firm that shielded Feeding Our Future itself, and you've got a tangled web of proximity, appointments, and unanswered questions screaming conflict and cover.
Look, the fraud's real. We've all acknowledged it. The fraud is very real. And by the way, when somebody commits fraud, and there are many that have done that, you investigate it, you charge, you prosecute, and yeah, you put the person in jail. As an individual, you put the person in jail as an individual. You do not hold an entire community, any community, accountable for the actions of individuals.
Frey claims ignorance and distances himself. But how long can the distraction go on for this city under siege by its own local and state government?
Who are the funders, the orchestrators, the facilitators of these riots and these efforts to impede lawful enforcement?
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And is it declared war? The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited to have you all here in the third hour of the program. And I'm a little excited right now because one of my favorite people are here. But before we go there, I got to remind you all, we're taking calls in the third hour of the show, okay? So if you want to call the show, you want to jump on in, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to be taking your calls in about 25 minutes. So if you want to join the show, talk about the topics we've discussed thus far, that's the number you're going to call into. But man, oh man, am I excited to have Mayor Rudy Giuliani sitting right by me right now. He is the host of America's Mayor, which is live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on X. Welcome to the show, Mayor. We're excited to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, Brianna.
Yeah.
Really great. Listen to you all the time, so it's great to see it live.
Well, thank you. We're very excited.
You're terrific. You're all terrific. Do great work for America.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, we've got my favorite people here as well. So this is going to be a great conversation. Mel Kay joining us, host of the Mel Kay Show.
Yeah.
As well as Hunter Gaylor, who's obviously the one who's helping us and hosting us today. As many of our audience knows, they're like, Brianna, why aren't you in Texas right now? I got stuck in West Palm Beach due to the fact that Texas doesn't know how to deal with snow. So Hunter was very gracious and let us deal with that here.
I know. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Cry.
In beautiful, sunny South Florida.
It's a little cold. You guys.
This is the new Southern Command, by the way.
All right. I'll come back.
Like 3-4 days. It seems like
it sure does. Yeah.
Roosevelt had like a White House in Arkansas or something.
Yeah.
We would call it the something White House. We should call this like the Palm Beach White House.
Yeah, the Palm Beach White House.
I think it's a good idea.
So the Mar-a-Lago White House would be better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think. Well, maybe you could add in a word. You might have it, dear.
some things I just started saying and he picked it up. Most of the times I used to pick it up from him. Well, we've known each other 40 years.
Yeah.
So during the 16 campaign, mm-hmm. I literally spent 4 months with him. I wouldn't say 24 hours a day, but the way he works.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And I was like the one person who could stay with him. I saw a thing in the press from Marco Rubio mm-hmm. saying that he. He's ashamed to fall asleep on Air Force One because Trump never sleeps.
Yeah.
So he curls himself up in a blanket and he puts himself, puts it over his head so he looks like a staff person.
Oh, that's
he
so funny.
He goes where the staff people are. So he won't go by and see his Secretary of the Treasury State sleeping.
Yeah.
And I can remember that. And Trump used to love it. He used to come, and he'd come and get me, bring me in. Then he'd say, let's walk. Anyway, see, look at all the kids. They're all sleeping. Look at all those kids sleeping. You're not sleeping. You're an old man. I'm an old man. You're not sleeping. Look at that. All sleeping.
Yeah. Well, that was so funny because the last time I had dinner at Mar-a-Lago, I was like yawning and ready to go to bed. And it was around 11 o'clock at night. Well, he was still ready to go. Yeah. He's like,
take it.
Oh, no. He's going to be doing the DJ all night there.
I know. He had his pad. He was ready to go.
Anyone else. Yeah.
It was quite impressive. I actually felt like a loser. Yeah.
That's his also, calling.
Yeah.
It used to be he's much better at it than when he was a younger man. But I think in this administration, he hasn't done it as much. For the first administration, like he'd come in there before people in the Oval Office. One guy go, get him out.
Yeah.
I remember that video when someone coughed right in front of him.
That's funny. They had the thing.
The pee tape.
When they had the thing that he peed on the bed. The guy is a germaphobe.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's in Russia or Canarsie.
Oh, my God. Did you see there was the Wall Street Journal interview where he's in his office first running and he says he said Shaq gave me the shoe and he's holding it by the string. He's like, aren't you afraid of germs? He's like, from Shaq? No, you know, but that's a big foot. He's holding it by the string.
Oh, my God.
It's almost over it now. Yeah. He's almost over. I mean, I could see.
Well, he's had to shake so many hands. He got to kind of get over it. That would,
Like when he first started, he used to use a script. He would put a scripto in his hand.
Right.
And instead of shaking, he'd sign.
Right.
Which people loved. I mean, they loved it, but it took too long. It was one thing to shake hands, one thing to sign 100 on the way out, and your next appointment is waiting. So he's gotten to the shaking. He's even gotten to the hugging thing now.
I know. I saw a couple of those.
Hey, when you look God right in the eyes and you stand back up, sometimes you
want to hug. As an Italian, I hug.
Me too. As an Italian, both of us.
But Andrew Cuomo, don't let them get away with that creepy stuff he was doing. Okay. Remember Ted writing off as being an Italian?
Son Andrew Land.
Yes.
If I already forgot it.
Yes.
And he would call, when he was greeting women and they would come up, he would tend to hug. He would say, I'm Andrew. I'm Andrew Giuliani. Please, I'm going to hug you, but, not the same way. Not the same with other Andrew Giuliani.
Right, exactly.
It's so true. And it's kind of strange, right? We have a president in the White House right now who's not sniffing the heads of babies. So it's been a real change.
He really deals with them so beautifully. He's great.
Yeah.
He took care of my kids. I mean, he was very, very special to Andrew. He's like an uncle.
Yeah. While growing up.
My son, He helped me a lot because I got divorced. There was a certain amount of friction, and the president used to play golf with him all the time and tell him how much his father cared about him, how much his father loved him, and how you have to, whatever's going on between mom and dad, because he's been through it, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's not you. Mm-hmm. They both love you.
Yeah.
So don't let either one of them, because sometimes they won't know it. They may try to spill it over on you. And it was it was just beautiful. That's one of the reasons why I get so angry when they try to make him a bad man.
I know.
You want to fight about his policies? I'll fight about it. Sometimes I disagree with his policies. What I can't stand is he's come from a good place.
I know.
His policies come from a really very solid place.
Well, I mean, I've said this as a business person. When you look at the enterprise that he's created and what he has gone through, right? I mean, you remember I've watched documentaries and I've seen, because I've been following Trump since I was a little kid. And, because you look up to a guy like that and he's got his name on airplanes and casinos and hotels and all this stuff and vineyards, and he's building golf courses and documentaries and all this stuff. If I were in his shoes, I would be doing exactly what he's doing, because I don't want the stuff that I'm building, even on a personal level. Forget about the rest of the country, just on a personal level, the amount of stuff he has, and for the country to just ruin all of it for him.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. I think what I've always noticed about him, even from 20 years ago, watching him with Tiffany when she was a little girl, he has so much love for his children and his grandchildren that you don't see that kind of, they are everything to him. When he's down here, he rarely goes out, and he really likes to spend most of his time with his kids, for real.
And he never really exploited it. Even now, it's covered a little bit more. But it's not the way other politicians do. The way they're constantly taking pictures with their kids around. Yeah. They're around appropriately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're around appropriately, and he talks about them. But he tries hard to keep them. And I'll tell you, you're really right about this. When I represented him, they used to constantly, the horrible fascist Mueller people used to constantly leak, "We're going to indict Don Jr.
I know.
We're going to indict Don Jr." Now, I knew the case backward and forward, and all my lawyers did. They had nothing on Don Jr. Yeah. Nothing. If they indicted him, even a Democratic judge would have thrown it out. And I would tell him, "Mr. President," first couple of times I was worried, so I checked it out. By the third time, I said, "Mr. President, they do this to get to you."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they used to do it before. They even so blatant. He'd be going off to a meeting with the European leaders. He'd be going off to a meeting with North Korea. Mm-hmm. And that morning, they do it.
It's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
And these people are evil.
About 3 or 4, he finally got it. And
right. But
even
still
then,
your kid.
Even when it was it was the fourth time or the fifth time, you could just see it was different when it was he could take it for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was much harder when they started going after his kid.
Yeah. That's how sick these people are, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
They did it to Michael Flynn, too. His son. They went after Flynn's son, too, and threatened him.
Michael Flynn, I think, should be capital punishment.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Well,
and Mueller James Cardinal Comey is the one who did that.
I know, but that's the issue right now. And we have to understand that people really do want accountability, and we're not seeing it. And it is upsetting a lot of people. And it seems that nobody can really. I mean, we have to hold people accountable.
100%.
We can't.
This was a seditious conspiracy. And the worst part, Rudy, is that most people don't realize it was global. It was not just the Obama administration. They were working with the UK, with the MI6 and everything. This was a global overthrow of a duly elected president of the United States of America. And Tulsi Gabbard comes out in June, says we have evidence of treason. We have all of this. And people want treason to be something that matters.
Yeah, Mayor, what do you think about that? Because that's the real frustration of the American people right now, is we're not seeing prosecutions.
I believe that I'm going to give it the best interpretation possible. Mm. I think we've confused weaponizing the justice system, vengeance justice, which they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With an appropriate use of the justice system, which is what we should do.
Right.
That's correct.
We're not. I don't want to see us prosecuting some stupid little guy who worked for the Democratic Party and followed their orders or whatever. But not to prosecute. Let's just pick on Comey for a minute. Four times the guy lied on a Pfizer application. I helped to establish Pfizer.
Ugh.
I did numerous Pfizer applications, mostly against the Russians. I took it as a sacred obligation.
Right.
Because nobody ever checks it. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of affidavits for search warrants. They go to court. They fight with me. They find a mistake or no mistake. I have to defend it. Pfizer application, nobody ever gets to see. And I get to see everything about you.
Right.
And I was trained when we did Pfizer. I mean, we were lectured. This was during the Ford administration. You just make sure that you check it over and you check it over and you check it over. And then you had one or two officials you could bring it to if you had a question. And then all of a sudden, years later, had nothing to do with Pfizer for a long time. Mm-hmm. I see him signing an affidavit that says that all the information is verified. And then I see him saying on television that it was never verified. I mean, the affidavit is right from the headline a lie. Then he says, I couldn't corroborate it. It was impossible to corroborate this type of. I'll give you one piece of information. In the affidavit, it says that Michael Cohen went to Poland and met with two operatives of Putin to set up some real estate deal on a specific date. On that specific date, Michael Cohen was in Los Angeles at a baseball tryout for his son, who I was either trying to get into the college or the major leagues. I forgot. Now, I helped to start Pfizer. I know the rules we followed. It is hard to corroborate. But anytime you see a fact, that's a corroboratable, if that's a word, fact. All you have to do is call a passport. Mm-hmm. You just call the passport office.
Right.
They take the FBI's call. And you say, I have an entry here. I want you to take a look around this time of year. Pull out Cohen and see, was he in...
Right.
Was he in Prague? Well, first thing they'd say is no. Then you'd say, well, maybe they got the date wrong. Was he ever in Prague? Then they'd say no. Now you'd say, let's figure out where the hell he was before we sign this thing. Because we got a problem. One more. They have an incident where they claim they went into a consular office in Miami for maybe Ukraine or whatever, some country. Ukraine. Let's say Ukraine. They don't have a consular office there. Now, that's another corroboratable fact. So what you do with a Pfizer thing is you take out all the facts where there could be external proof for you, write them down, and then you make calls, and then you put it down to protect yourself.
Right.
So I would have, if I did that, called, and I would have said, where is the consular office? I'd assume it's correct. Where's the consular office in Miami from Ukraine? They don't have one.
What?
Well, did they have one in 2016, wherever the date was? They've never had one. Never, never, ever. Where's the closest one in Florida? They don't have one in Florida.
Wow.
Now I got two.
Right.
Now, I could go through the whole, I'll give you eight that are just on their face. That thing got signed four times by federal judges. Four times he swore it was accurate. Four times he said he corroborated everything he could. All of it's a damn lie.
Yeah.
In order to intrude on the privacy, first of a candidate for president of the United States, and then on the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If that's not prosecutable,
it has to
nothing
be.
Is. Nothing is.
Yeah. Right.
No, perjury is prosecutable.
No.
The problem is, we were talking about this over the weekend. The problem is what you just laid out for the audience, right, is fact. If I said, Where were you on the night of his murder or whatever of a crime? Oh, well, I was at a Huawei gas station in this place. There's no Huawei gas station there. Doesn't right. exist.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's my alibi. I was there. That's what he's saying. That's it. I was there. And they don't do any verification. And the judge, okay. That's crime.
Yeah. Yeah. But people aren't held accountable.
I'm going to tell you an embarrassing fact now.
Oh, God.
I hired Comey originally.
I know he was in the Southern mm-hmm. District.
I hired him as an assistant U.S. attorney. He was, from all I knew, more better than average assistant U.S. attorney. Not like top of the class, but a guy that can handle complex cases. Mm-hmm. I had a great opinion of him when I left. He was with me for 3 years.
Wow.
I mean, I was there for 5 or 6, but he was there for 3 of them. I first became, and I kind of supported his career. I was close to President Bush and recommended him highly. And when he got into that thing, when Ashcroft got sick and they had to get a warrant, and he wouldn't sign the warrant, and he went all the way to the hospital, and he required that Ashcroft sign the warrant, even though the guy was, like, in serious post-operative condition, and he made a big deal out of it. I said, that's weird. This is a guy that's a game. Oh, I know. It was actually before that. It's when he prosecuted Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's a celebrity prosecution.
Unbelievable.
There's no way. One time insider trading, we always made it civil. Always. I pretty much started insider trading prosecutions. And it's a tough law to understand if you're not into finance big time. Mm-hmm. So you always took a first one as a big civil fine. And then the second time, I'll put you in jail.
Right.
But now you get a big name.
Right.
And they had a cold. And it was just completely, I thought, gee, Jim, I wouldn't have done that. Why did Jim do that?
Mayor, I want to ask you, too. I mean, this is InfoWars. We could float some conspiracy theories out there. Why do you think James Comey has changed? I mean, this is the guy that you knew and you thought he'd be great for this position. Yeah, because this is what we see. This is a common theme here where we push these people into positions because we think that they are going to do the best jobs possible and they betray us.
A combination of several real character flaws. One is obviously very, very raw ambition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two is self-righteousness. That's why I call him James Cardinal Comey.
Right.
He always comes across like he's, you know, he's morally correct.
Yes.
I don't know if, because he's not really a liberal. Liberals all have this, they're morally superior to us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, coming from New York, having once been a Democrat, but not a liberal Democrat, a conservative Democrat, which is almost harder than being a conservative Republican.
Yeah. Yes.
And then having left, I'm one of the world's experts on debating with liberals. And they are very smart, very often, a lot better than the people we have now, but they are completely know-it-alls.
Yeah.
I know everything. You know nothing. You wouldn't believe in God if you were really smart.
Right.
Smart people don't believe in God. And he's like, I don't mean he doesn't believe in God, but he has that I'm smarter than you are and I'm more important than you are thing about him. And then I guess he's just a dishonest human being.
Something else has to be there.
There are so many things he did.
Yeah.
That he probably had grand ambitions to be attorney general, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he knew the only way he was going to get there in a crooked administration is to be crooked.
Yeah.
And Clinton and Obama both ran, particularly Obama, entirely crooked administration.
Yes.
Obama gets away with I was going to say murder, but I can't prove murder, but he gets away with everything else.
Well, yes. Look at the Clintons, right? I mean, how many friends do you have that have been assassinated?
Not many.
Yeah. I mean, they have what's their number up to? 70 something?
A lot of questionable stuff with the Clintons.
This is the big problem that I've never been able to understand as someone that grew. And you have to understand, this goes back. I've been involved in politics. I have a picture of me shaking Rudy Giuliani's hand at Ron John's Surf Shop when he was running for president.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And so what I've never understood about, you know, the right is they always want to be and like this moral high ground Christian type thing, but yet the left just does whatever they want. They get away with it and they have no accountability. Mm-hmm. Meaning if I get in trouble, I'm going to jail, straight to jail, right? These people, they commit a crime and it's like, hey, congratulations, you committed a crime. Do you want to commit another? And they do it time and time and time again. They blatantly sit in front of the camera with all of the people up in Congress mm-hmm. and lie.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is there a mechanism? Or do we not know something? Is there immunity? Why is nobody ever held accountable inside the government?
How long have we been going through this? 20 years?
Yeah.
25 years. I still don't believe it. Like when I see Swalwell.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying to myself, why would you put Swalwell on? Yeah. You know he's lying.
Yeah.
He's incapable of telling the truth.
Yeah.
He is. And they just begin lying and they continue to lie. And they put them on over and over and over again. And some of it is the conspiracy with the media. I mean, some of it. I used to think it was just liberal, their ideology run amok.
It's bigger than that.
Way beyond that.
Yeah.
Much more corrupt.
Yeah.
It's driven either by blatant Marxism.
Yeah.
Like I spent last night and early this morning researching Tim Walz again.
Right.
And but here's my problem with Tim from the day he became a candidate. No one ever really did a good investigation of his connections with Red China.
No,
and they are
just a big one.
Crying out for investigations. I say, having not answered the questions, I'm entitled to come to the conclusion that he's a Chinese, Red Chinese operative.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out of college, a small little tiny college.
Right.
I doubt he had good grades. He's so dopey. And Harvard recruited him. This sounds great. Harvard recruited him to go to China. Well, half the people they recruited going to China turned out to be Chinese spies. What are they recruiting them for?
Yeah, we're just talking about
that. To get brainwashed.
Yeah.
Now, he spends a year and a half there, has an affair with a Chinese woman, a girl who was the daughter of a big shot in the Red Chinese local party, right? He jilts her at some point. He comes back in love with China.
Right.
I got a whole bunch of his quotes about how, I mean, a recent one. How about this? And nobody says, how stupid is this? You know, it really would be helpful in the Middle East if we brought someone like China in with the kind of moral suasion they have. Yeah, the kind of moral suasion having killed 100 million
totalitarianism.
People.
Yeah,
that's the biggest.
The one biggest, child per family.
Remember that? Yeah.
They make the mafia look like an order of priests.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous statement that could only be made by a fool or a communist.
Right. Communist, for sure.
Or the famous one, you know, one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness. Or,
yeah, whatever.
Early in his career, he had all kinds of things. China is a wonderful place to go. You all should go. Here's the horrible thing. He brought 50 kids to China every year. Had a business, two businesses, him and his wife. You cannot figure out who was paying. Nobody, mm-hmm. Nobody's looked really carefully at the record.
Right.
We know China paid for some of those trips.
Yes.
Now, China is not going to let you go back and forth teaching without knowing exactly what you're teaching and approving it.
Mm-hmm.
China would. I was using one of the AI things because I fight with them, you know.
Yeah, me too.
And this, I go crazy on. So this one, I ask her for the trips, and she says, he went there during a period of time when China didn't really do surveillance.
Yeah. Oh,
I say back to it, you are either a naive fool or a communist.
Mayor.
Because there never was a time that they didn't surveil you. Never, ever, ever, mm-hmm. since the day the communists took over.
Right. Mayor Giuliani, thank you for being here, my friend. We're so excited to have you on. I know. I could talk all day.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's...
it's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I'm actually still joined by Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Yay.
He liked it so much that he's sticking with us for a couple more minutes. And we're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to join the show. And we've got a roundtable of incredible guests as well. Mel Kay joining the show as well. She's the host of the Mel Kay Show. Also author of the book, Americans Anonymous, which I highly recommend you go get right now over on Amazon. And you can also follow her on X. Mel Kay Show is where you do just that. We also have Hunter Gaylor also here. He's the founder of Spencer Pruitt. And he's also America First strategist. And so this is why everything's working out well over here right now. Because we're all America First in the room right now. And so this is a big one. But Mayor, we have you here right now. And we wanted to dive into some calls in just a second. But you guys are kind of going back and forth. I know you were hot on a lot of topics that you want to keep talking
about. Well, I thought you said, you know, InfoWars is big on conspiracy theories. I have to contribute to the conspiracy theory about the attempted assassinations of President Trump. First of all, the fact that there were two is extremely suspicious.
Yes.
The fact that each one of these guys, particularly the second guy, made all kinds of foreign trips, just like Lee Harvey Oswald did.
Exactly.
I mean, you want me to believe that he went to Russia and Cuba before he killed Kennedy and there was no involvement of communism? I don't know. Hard to believe. This guy went to Ukraine, and there are plenty of reasons why certain Ukrainians would want to make sure he wasn't president.
Right.
Never even run down. We don't even get, like, the way you're supposed to approach an investigation is Common sense. Whatever makes sense is probably true.
Yeah.
Then disprove it. Try to prove it or disprove it. And when you've run those down and you've disproven it, then you've done your job. They didn't even try.
Right.
I can't imagine they sent people to Ukraine, found out he talked to. I mean, I would have sent a boatload of agents to Ukraine.
They didn't want to try. And the most disappointing thing, I think, about all of it is that they almost did kill Donald Trump on live TV in front of the world. They wanted to in the first.
Charlie.
Imagine had that happened. Okay. I mean, we are talking about mass trauma of the entire country at a time when we're already in chaos. So, again, not investigating it doesn't lead to whoever planned that. And we're not getting to who the criminals are.
Well,
we get this periphery investigation. Somebody approved that to have him shot on live TV, because why was CNN there? It was the only one that they were at filming live that day in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I mean, but for the grace of God, did that not happen? But imagine what would have happened to this country.
No, but look at what happened on that point, right? And the mayor's 1,000% correct, because you have a guy in New York, by the way, that shoots a healthcare CEO, and he's all over the news, and he's like, you know,
so half the country's glorifying,
and they're glorifying him.
Yeah.
And yet we know nothing about a former president that's running for president, and we have Secret Service intel agencies, the NSA, and we have nothing.
Well, that's crazy too. I also was the one that released the Thomas Crook detailed report on his social media following. It was me, Tucker, and Miranda Devine who got that.
Yeah.
And sadly, our FBI, which is really disappointing, wouldn't give us comment on it before we released it. Then when we released it, they called it fake media reporting, even though it was all factually true. And it's really discouraging. Before we jump in on that, though, Savage Dog is on the line right now. He calls in from Georgia, and he's one of our most loyal callers. So I want to get him in on this because he wants to also talk about prosecutions as well. Savage Dog, welcome back to the show. It's always an honor to have you on. You're here with the whole team, so welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
My question, and I'm glad you stayed around there, Mr. Mayor. You know, we got Al Capone on tax evasion. The whole country is screaming, you know, well, the correct thinking people are screaming for sedition and treason and whatnot for, tongue-tied. Waltz, you know, everybody going, everything going on in Minnesota. Well, we got a clear-cut case of racketeering and fraud. Everybody thinks that, the prosecution method is go after the low level, they'll dime out the high level. Well, what if we kick in the doors of all the high level for racketeering and they start diming out the low level? Not only will that cease the money immediately to all these protesters, but you could get a whole, like think of the Batman scene where, you know, all the mobsters are in the courtroom at the same time, you know, something like that. What is your take on that, sir?
Well, that's a complex question. The reality is that Walls should be investigated with a task force. And the first thing I would want investigated, and I'd be happy to volunteer to do it, is his connections to Red China.
Yeah.
Because I think it explains everything. Since he hasn't answered any of the questions about it, I feel it's appropriate for me to assume that he's a Red Chinese agent for the safety of my country.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't answered the basic questions like, why did you go there right after college? Why did you remain there for a year and a half? What did they teach you?
Yeah.
When you came back and you established two businesses, who was funding it?
Right.
Well, the Chinese funding it. You took kids there, and now there's a discrepancy. He says he went 30 times. His campaign says he went 15. The big difference between 15
yes,
and
there
15.
Is. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What were these 50 kids taught? And were you allowed to teach them anything you wanted? Well, of course not.
No way.
So I got one description of it from people who investigated it, and they said, well, he was just limited on certain things, but he was not allowed to discuss Taiwan, and he was not allowed to discuss the elimination of the Uyghur people or the forced taking of organs from Christians in Falun Gong.
Right.
And I said, well, by the time you finish that and they come back to America, they come back to America with the same ideas that he's promulgating, that China is a moral force, as he said just 2 years ago. That's brainwashing.
I know.
So he's brainwashed some incalculable number of American kids in hating America.
Right. The other part
of that. What's he doing as a governor, almost vice president? And isn't that why? So I think these things that are going on in Minneapolis, which are worse than any place, as they all start there,
yeah,
is part of his being a Marxist. And Marx tells you, you got to start.
Right.
You want to take over a country? Create chaos.
Yeah.
Create, break down all moral barriers and create chaos.
And question institutions, delegitimize. This is what we've been dealing with.
He's made Minnesota the mutilate your body capital of the world.
Yeah.
A 14-year-old boy or girl can go there, ask to be mutilated, and they will not tell the parents. I don't know. I think you should probably get capital punishment for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, take a look at the flag of Minnesota.
Oh, right. They're changing it to like the star.
They have changed it.
Yeah.
They did.
They officially did. Yeah.
The old flag
of
Minnesota.
It's not the only flag that's changed either.
It's like two, three years ago and forever, the flag of Minnesota, if I recall correctly, it was sort of red and orange or something like that.
Yeah, we got the video.
Now it's completely blue and it looks exactly like the Somali flag.
There you go.
This is the moment when he actually did it. And keep in mind, too, I believe the population in Minnesota is around 6 million, and it's only about 100,000 Somalians.
Let me ask you a question.
That could be the flag of Somalia.
That's the, This is
Even the star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, how much was, do we know the official number now of the daycare? It's in the billions.
The fraud itself,
They have 9 billion, but it looks like it might go up to about 18 billion. And the people of Minnesota should be furious.
So my question is how much is he making off that?
Right. I'm sure plenty. I mean, that's
because you're governor.
But we have the ability.
And it was on his radar.
We have warrantless surveillance 702. We have the NSA. This is a national security issue going on up there.
We should be able to answer the question, to what extent was he involved?
Exactly.
He clearly was, if you want to give him the best explanation possible, he clearly was the most incompetent governor in the history of the world.
Yeah.
To have such a big thing going on underneath him and he didn't know it.
Yeah. But do you want to hear something that happened yesterday? Eric Holder, who, of course, turned the Justice Department into an ideologically aligned, you know, weaponized system in 2010, that book Injustice came out about what Eric Holder was doing back then about voting and everything else.
100%.
Well, I'll tell you what, Eric Holder was on with Jen Psaki last night and talking about how he vetted Waltz for Kamala Harris as the VP. And he said that he chose him because he was the only one that had the infrastructure. And I thought, what infrastructure?
Yeah.
And he
That's
said this
a weird word. To
yes. Yeah. And then we think back. Is it a coincidence that George, I call it Operation George Floyd, was in that same neighborhood, was with that same thing, and they defunded
three
police.
Blocks away.
Yeah.
And also, I've had several people, sources in Minneapolis tell me, like at the beginning when they were saying a lot of outsiders are coming in to do this, they said, no, they're wrong.
Right.
They don't need outsiders here. That might be necessary. Yeah. Even in Chicago, it might be necessary. Even in New York, it might be necessary. Here, they have a built-in infrastructure.
Yes.
And if anything, they'll get a couple of advisors to come in. But they don't need ground troops. And that shooting that we're looking at is a rearrest.
Yes.
It's a process. Rearrest. They teach them how to distract agents.
Yeah.
So that the guy can escape.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they were doing.
Spotters all over, which
I saw the report that post spotters. From James O'Keefe on what was going on.
100%.
Yeah.
And they've been training them in rearrest now for about 4 or 5 years. And this was an absolute rearrest scenario. She first distracts them.
Yes.
He then comes theoretically to her defense. So that takes another agent out, and that agent is like pushing him back. The other agent, so now maybe you started with 5 agents. Now you're down to 3. Probably it got interrupted in some way. There probably was a third one that was going to take out another agent. And at that point, they lose concentration on the guy that they wanted to arrest, who has a record, who is a violent pedophile. The guy runs away.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. That's exactly what they were doing. Now, you go into a rearrest scenario where you're going to basically obstruct justice, and it's like, you know, taking a...
so much more dangerous.
It's like doing a prison escape.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're carrying a massive firearm with you. I mean, it's got 91 bullets in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needed 91 bullets to protect himself. Now, of course, he has a right to bear arms. He also has to have some responsibility about it.
Well, if you've seen Liz Collins' great movie, The Fall of Minneapolis, what you see is that everyone that could get out left, and the entire police force that was there were demonized. And never forget that Derek Chauvin case was they Ellison settled with the Floyd family before they went to trial. So everything's been going on there. This is an extension of that operation, in my opinion.
I think the mayor's made an interesting point, right? And I find this comical because Tim, the governor, I don't know how he's smart enough to pull off a scam. I just think he's just dumb.
Well, so I think that's true too.
By the Chinese,
he's just maybe just like
he just follows. He just follows. Put A into B and B into C and C into D. That's what the Chinese communists are good at.
Yeah,
I mean they're good at memorizing and following a plan. And I'm telling you, if we could get our hands on a video, James O'Keefe, if we get our hands on a training video, of a rearrest. And I think there are, I think
I'm
some
sure
people,
they have to exist.
And you put it next to what they did. I think you could do point by point. You could do A, B, C, and then you can see I was interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a manual that we just recently saw, thanks to Cam Higby, who found that on the Signal chat where they were orchestrating and they're training them. So we know that they are being trained. It's factually true now.
It's Baltimore. The woman.
Yeah. Been going out for years.
There you go. That's it right there.
The
clear cut.
Yeah, the Sunrise Movement too. This is not new.
The good woman was a trained operative.
Oh, by the way, notice the document. That's ChatGPT formatting.
Oh, interesting.
Of course it is. Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should go on chat and just ask
ChatGPT how to create the
rearrest.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
I'll have to start fighting with them again.
I fight with them all the time.
It's amazing. Yes.
I say, why are you so biased? This is the truth. And I'll put in a real document and be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They don't know I have the real documents.
Oh, I love that. Savage Dog, thank you for calling in, my friend. We appreciate
thank you,
call,
Savage Dog.
As always. Let's turn to Mad Trucker in Ohio, who would like to talk. He apparently has some fatigue. Mad Trucker, welcome to the show. Do we have our friend Mad Trucker from Ohio going once? His fatigue is.
Oh, there he is.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you all so much. And Mayor Giuliani for being there and everybody for being there and staying. And yeah, I'm so fatigued with it. And I feel like they're stealing a little piece of my humanity from me, the left, that is, because normally, even when something bad happens to someone and maybe they deserved it, maybe they didn't, whatever, I would feel a little bit, you know, some sympathy for them. But I can't find myself to find any sympathy for these people anymore. And it makes me even more angry that I feel like they're stealing that from me, that little piece of humanity from me.
Right. That's a very interesting observation. I'm going to tell you, though, and this is sort of a more of a Christian observation. You should. Some of them are deliberate operatives and evil people.
Right.
But a large number of them are just naive, possibly not very well educated, or possibly incorrectly educated.
Yep. Or
and brainwashed.
Right. Or they've been on drugs since they were kids. Very easy to brainwash. Look, we really have to understand the age group here. This under 30 is predominantly what this is. Mm-hmm. This is also goes in tandem with the drugging of children and this whole change in the LGBTQ
and all of that. They're paid.
Some of them are paid.
The good woman, I call her the good woman, Nicole Good. You look at the pictures of her maybe 4 or 5 years ago. She was a normal woman.
Yeah.
She looked like the girl next door.
And she was married with kids.
And she was married with kids. And all of a sudden, within a 2-year period, she becomes a man, I guess, because that's her wife.
Right. Yeah.
And she starts dressing and looking like a boy. So she obviously was going through
the evolution.
And then we refuse to accept the fact that that's mental illness.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
If you are
a man and you start thinking you're a woman, that's the same thing as you start thinking you're George Washington. It's called paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah.
It has always been that until these liberals came along and changed.
They normalized mental illness and made and elevated people, particularly online. Online psychological warfare has been the most damaging part of all of this. But it's not a coincidence that many of these people are educated women under 30, because a lot of this is coming from our college campuses. Mm-hmm. You really have to understand.
I will tell you this. And, you know, I have an aunt, right? And she is a clinical psychologist, right? And when I was growing up, my dad being a Marine, right? If I was misbehaving or doing something, he's like, go run around the block, go mow the lawn, go do like, yeah, put yourself to work. Right. Hey, and then, but my aunt would say, oh, just prescribe him this thing. That's a problem.
A medicine?
Yeah. Like antidepressants or ADHD or, you know, if you have some of that, it became normalized.
A lot of these people probably grew up on medication they shouldn't have been on. And it started then. I've talked to people from MK Ultra and about the long game for that program.
They just want to give you a pill. That's the problem. Here's a pill. Take a pill.
To be easily manipulated, like in China.
I have a pill for, I developed a pill with John Rich. I hope John doesn't mind. We're still in our testing phase. It's for Trump derangement. If you take your pill and you come into our therapy program,
yeah,
we get you over it.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to disclose what we do to you in the therapy program.
Yeah. I'm upside
John
down.
Will not allow me to. But he guarantees that when you come.
Best lines.
No, he guarantees that when you come out of it, you're going to be a big Trump fan.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah. But there's two sides of the Trump derangement syndrome, because there's also the other side that will not understand that we need to all unite. There's something going on right now on the right that is hurting us. And I believe that also is an infiltration operation. But when you see that people like Tucker and, you know, Candace and all these people are divided going into the midterms of 2026 that we cannot lose, something is wrong on the right, too.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, going into
something's wrong.
You know, the Super Bowl's coming up. And I always say this analogy.
It could be the Chinese. I mean,
yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah. What I say on the right after, you know, the horrific incident of Charlie Kirk,
yeah,
and this infighting that's gone on within the conservative party, I look at it like this. Y'all can have and be fans of different football teams.
Right.
You could be a Patriots fan, a New York Jets fan. Doesn't matter. They could be arch rivals and you hate one another, but you love football.
Right.
So the Republican America. Party needs to say, we love America.
Yes.
Stop the infighting. We love America.
But you may have something.
Yeah.
This may not be just natural argument and Socratic dialogue. This may be inserted.
Brainwashing.
As a way of inserted on purpose.
How did it happen in Nazi Germany?
Money.
Yeah.
Hello. I mean, it's not that far from.
I think the thing that we don't realize yet, beginning to, China's infiltration was the most brilliant, the most extensive infiltration ever done. One country on another. I know a lot about the Russian infiltration. I spent a lot of my career investigating that to the end of the Cold War. And Russians were nowhere near as good as this. Nowhere near as. They were much easier to find. It was much more obvious. You could flip them much easier, turn them. Plus, the Russians never worked on like second and third generation Russians. The Chinese will go get some poor guy whose family's been here 100 years. And they'll find some connection back in China.
And arrest him.
And they'll flip the guy, torture him. Right here in the United States.
I know. And it's been allowed. And there's no way that entire auto pen administration, this is another thing. Everyone that ran that auto pen should be held accountable.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is they had people in there. I mean, this Donilon guy, he was the main, China guy for the Biden administration. We don't even know who was running the Biden administration.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this guy was the head of BlackRock's like entire international investing. And then he becomes the head China guy under Blinken. Like we should be auditing everyone from 2020 to 2024 when all that money left this country and figuring out where the money went. Why aren't we going after the money? The money with the NGOs, the money with Act Blue, the money with.
Well, how about the Biden money? We never went after the Biden money.
No. And the.
So I gave the FBI under Fatso.
Yeah.
You know who Fatso is, right? And I gave him in January of 2020 the name of a woman who was the chief accountant for Burisma. And she claimed so she knew all the books.
Yeah.
She also claimed to have the offshore bank accounts of not only the Bidens, but any number of politicians, American and otherwise.
Right.
And she said, you know, if you get me in the witness protection program, I'll tell you everything. I'll tell you the truth. And this was like, to me, like a no brainer as a former prosecutor, a lot more effective than Fatso. And because you could find out immediately if she's telling the truth or not, right? She's going to give you numbers,
right?
Right.
Numbers don't lie.
You're going to go look at the bank accounts.
Yeah.
Either the bank accounts are there or she's lying to you.
Right.
You figure it out in advance. I worked out with her lawyer that she would not get into the program until she turned over all the numbers. We keep her in protective custody. If numbers were right, we got a deal. Numbers wrong, we just throw you out, baby. I mean, you're out. Sure. You're gone. So I left it with them in Pittsburgh. And they were the assistant U.S. attorneys and the U.S. attorney and the FBI agents there, probably all good guys, were very excited. Mm-hmm. And within 2 days, they're calling back my lawyer, Bob Costello, and they're calling back Ted. We need this document, that document, this document. And we feel like, oh, God, we got to get from quickly because we're holding them up. All of a sudden, about 10 days later, the call stopped. And then we call again. And they switched it from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. Now we couldn't find it.
Yeah. Mm.
And the woman is hanging out there. We also told her the woman is in jeopardy of being killed.
It's terrible.
Yeah. We eventually had to work with our people that
to say again.
To put her in. But I'm going to tell you, that woman's still available, and this present FBI hasn't gone to see her.
No, and that's a problem.
Poof.
That's a problem. Although, follow the money on all of this. We can follow the money on all of
we
this.
We can follow it on Ukraine, on everything.
We should ask Zelensky to tell us the truth.
Yeah.
And open up the file. I've seen a little of the file.
Yeah.
When I snuck into Ukraine.
Look at what.
A prosecutor opened the file for me and he started showing me things. And I was trying to take it.
Don't forget the Obama administration overthrew a duly elected government in Ukraine in 2014.
Yeah.
And then basically Victoria Nuland gets up on the stand and says basically they took over the Justice Department, the financial situation, the military, the police. Nuland testified to this in 2015.
Right.
I mean,
and Soros built
in there since the 90s.
Soros built the two special prosecutor's office.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds like, oh, Soros is solving corruption in Eastern Europe. He would set up the anti-corruption task force.
Yeah. Right.
And he'd make them separate, the investigators and the lawyers. First thing they would do is drop all the cases against Soros' companies.
Right.
So he would get to do whatever the hell he wanted.
There. Right.
And then they go after his enemies.
Right.
And
it's brilliant.
And people don't understand. They think that Soros.
That's before he did it to our prosecutors.
Right.
That was his model.
Europe.
For setting up. If you take a look at 2020, most of those riots take place in Soros-dominated places.
That's the crazy
where problem. The DA is going to let him out.
Yeah, well,
because he already did it in Europe. He came here to do it here.
All right, guys.
Well on his way.
Well, we need more time. We'll be back. We'll definitely have you back.
This is what the American people need.
I know.
They do.
A real conversation.
They do. Truth.
The Alex Jones Show is next, America. Stay
tuned. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here, and I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a begging right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago, and well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade, but you need something to take care of yourself and your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake, updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get is some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air and our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with. But limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.